Well, let's try this again. This is the news. According to me. It kind of cut me off there. Good morning, folks. It is Friday, November 14th, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is not a live show, in case you're wondering. It's a good thing it isn't. I had some other issues going on this morning. It's 2025, by the way, the year. Year 2025. We have a few things to get into this morning. One of the things we want to get into is my cup. I want to get into my cup. I'm going to crawl right in here. It's a great big cup. I got my chai with my Cinnabon creamer. I think I put a little more creamer than normal in there. Now, something's going on with my dog. I don't know what's going on this morning. He's been whining and complaining and kind of barking in the background. So now he's doing it again. I don't know what's going on with that. He's laying down on his thing. And I don't know what's going on with him. Honestly, don't. I don't know. I took him upstairs again. Not sure what's going on. I don't think he acts like the cat is bothering him, but there's no cat down here right now. Maybe the cat is down here. I don't know. I really don't know. It's a mystery. He's the mystery dog. Regardless of all that, I have. He's still whining. He's looking at me and whining. I don't know what's going on. I'm not shocking him. So I'm not that guy that got in trouble for shocking his dog in the background. Well, the worst of it was he shocked his dog. And he denied it. He shocked his dog. Look, e-collars are great. Our dog is e-collar trained. He just went through an extensive 2-week e-collar training deal. And it's called off-leash training, which is... if it's done properly, it's incredibly good tool to use. I don't know what his issue is. But the problem is people use it for punishment. They'll crank it up and they'll use it and you'll hear the dog go yipe. You know, they'll do this yiping thing. It's meant to get their attention. It's like a collar pull. It's like a collar tug kind of thing. You think of it as, okay, they feel that feeling. They know that they're doing something, you know, it's a communication device. And yeah, you can hit them hard if you need to, if they're doing something that's really bad. If they're running towards a street, there's a special button on there that escalates the tension, if you will, on the leash, which is just a harder hit. And they get focused on one thing. They don't even feel like they can't even feel the hit sometimes. If anybody's ever done any dog training with a leash, it's the same thing. You can yank on a leash, and if they're focused on something, they won't even notice they've been you know, they're set. They might notice the yanking, but they're not. They're dead set on doing something else. And they will drag you down the street if you don't get them under control. So it's one of those things where it's the same kind of thing. It doesn't hurt the dog any more than a flat collar will, if it's done properly. I mean, you can. Some countries have outlawed them, and I get that. There's, you know, while I understand that, I think that's overkill, in my opinion, to just completely ban them. However, they vilify them to the point where if you have a e-collar on your dog, it's considered cruelty, which is ridiculous. Now, can you be cruel with an e-collar? Sure you can. You can also be cruel with a regular collar. I've seen dogs out tied up outside for days with what's called a claw collar, or what's commonly referred to as a Hermspringer, which is a German version, German brand of the prong collar, which is a training collar. And they put a chain around their neck. That's just as much abuse as as an e-collar, but yeah, or electric fences, that kind of thing, the buried electric fence, the invisible fence. Same kind of concept. Dog chooses to go up to that area where he knows he's not supposed to be, gets shocked, he knows what's coming, he knows where he's, you know, the dog knows where he's at. Anyway, yeah. It's the problem is abuse, and that's going to happen regardless of whether you have an e-collar or not. Now, having said all of that, somewhere in here I have a, where did I put it? I have an audio file. I hope it got saved properly. Because I don't see it now. That's interesting. I hope I didn't lose that. Because it's very critical that I have it, because we need to play it today. I'm pretty sure I saved it in a regular file. Regardless of what happened here. Oh, it's not there. I don't see it. That's interesting. Unless it's this one right here, but I don't think it is. I'm pretty sure that's not it. All right, then. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to work. Somehow that got deleted off of my sprockets here. I want to talk about the DSA today, the Democratic Socialist, whatever they are. After this brief message, I want to talk about this show a little bit. Monday morning, I'm going to be looking at my schedule here a little bit, just for a couple minutes. Now, Tuesday, I know for a fact that on Tuesday of next week, probably will not be a show. Wednesday probably will be a show. However, it's possible I might be up in Chicago on the 20th and 21st. Actually, not in Chicago. It's actually up in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. There's a conference we may be going to. Very likely, I'll be in San Luis Obispo on Monday morning. Very possible I'll have a show from there. Tuesday, if I do a show, it'll be a Monday night show with a Tuesday posting. So I'll actually do the show on Monday night and then have the show post on. So I'll be in El Paso on Tuesday morning, and I probably have to be leaving out of there. I get into El Paso early in the day on Monday, and I'll probably be leaving very early on on Tuesday. I get there in the afternoon on Monday. The thinking there is that I would not get back home until later in the day, and then probably not be able to get things. What ended up happening to this? I really wonder what happened to. I just don't know. Should have saved it. Apparently didn't save it. We'll talk about the stats a little bit here. The listenership is down. This week has been terrible. It's been less than less. Considering last week it was way over what it normally is. Now I don't know if they're doing something weird with my statistics. They may not be reporting them all every day on a regular basis. I know that sometimes they dump things from other places where they post them on, like Spotify, that kind of thing. Because looking at geographic stats, it's the entire globe is lit up right now, except for Africa for some reason. Kenya, I have some listeners, and South Africa, I have some listeners, as well as Tunisia. Believe it or not, there's some listeners. Now, Australia, of course, there's some. India. Pakistan, Uzbekistan, strangely enough, Russia, of course, there's always a couple there, Turkey, Iraq, welcome to the show. It's always kind of interesting to see that happen. Where's this one right here? I can't really get over that. Germany, of course, there's a few there. Netherlands, UK, of course, looks like there's Ireland. Looks like Ireland there. there's another one right there. I don't know what that is. Oh, Poland. Poland is right there. That's interesting. Now, getting into South America, Central America, Mexico, of course, Colombia, Ecuador, Brazil, Bolivia, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Argentina. That's what's this down here. Well, that's also Argentina, I guess. Is that Argentina? Yeah. So needless to say, there is that's a lot. A lot of places where people are listening. What is the dog doing out there? I have to take a look. Hey, no. That's not good. Open up the carpet there. Don't do that. He's pulling up the carpet. That's what he's doing. He's in rare form today. We have, he found a loose thread on the carpet, just starts yanking it out. Has to find something to do. We have a couple things we want to talk about today. This main thing I want to talk about is this thing with the DSA. And yesterday we talked a lot about the whole, I told you a life story, a little lifetime part of my life story. And the few things about making things happen and that kind of general. I don't know what he's doing. And so we have all that going on. Now, I have this issue with the DSA. There's a really good campaign ad that was going out when Mamdani was running. There was some, I don't know who ran this ad, but it was a very good ad. But I have something I want to add to the ad. It's an addition. Now he's getting up again. He's trying to get away from me. And not sure what he's going to do now. I thought I had him under my desk here where he could hang out, but I'm not sure what he's going to do now. Acts like he kind of wants to go upstairs, which is most likely the issue. The problem, if he goes upstairs, he'll start barking at the other dog and could cause all kinds of issues. I have this thing with the DSA, and it's a little thing called the cuckoo bird. Now, this ad is very interesting, and I kind of want to break it down. It goes quite lengthy. We'll play through it. I think I'm going to play through it and then just add my commentary as we go through it, because it's kind of an in-depth thing that I think is worth breaking down. I thought about just playing through the whole thing and then breaking it down later, but at this point, I think we're just going to break it down as we go. Now, I'm not exactly sure what happened. I went through an entire segment of this whole thing, played through the whole thing, and gave commentary as well as some other things at the end. Really good show. For some reason, it was lost. The recording was lost. I still have the DSA thing. What I'm saying is I recorded the show for about 30 minutes, and it was looked up at the recording device, the DAW that I'm using. Wasn't recording anything. So I just kind of cut back in here to let you know what's happening now. So I'm going to play this, and I'll give you my commentary as we go, and we're going to break some things down and talk about the what the DSA is. So here we go. Let's start it up. Make sure I get my volume up on that one, and we're going to play this right now. Here we go.
It's no secret that the Democratic Socialists of America hate the Democratic Party.
I think we're all on the same page that we hate the Democratic Party. The
Democratic Party is not really our friend. It isn't.
So why are the DSA such major players in the Democratic Party? This odd relationship can be understood with the cuckoo analogy. In nature, the cuckoo survives by trickery. It lays its egg in another bird's nest. The unsuspecting parents raise the imposter as their own, until the cuckoo grows strong enough to push the true chicks out. The DSA is the cuckoo inside the Democratic Party.
DSA is not the Democratic Party.
It's no secret that the Democratic Socialists of America...
I don't know why I started over.
Our friend. It isn't.
Sorry about that.
So why are the DSA such major players in the Democratic Party? This odd relationship can be understood with the cuckoo analogy. In nature, the cuckoo survives by trickery. It lays its egg in another bird's nest. The unsuspecting parents raise the imposter as their own until the cuckoo grows strong enough to push the true chicks out. The DSA is the cuckoo inside the Democratic Party.
DSA is not the Democratic Party.
We must separate ourselves from the toxic Democratic Party.
We can put forward a clear, aggressive, principled strategy that pushes back against the Democratic leadership and the Democratic Party as a whole.
So what you hear them saying here now is that they're defining themselves as a very different organization from within the Democratic Party. So they're Democrat Party. They realize they're not. And I think this is important to really have this understood, and as far as to clarify this, that they are an organization within an organization, they very clearly do not want to have anything to do with the establishment Democrats. The Bernie Sanders movement within the Democrat Party is very different than the Democrat Party. Unfortunately, the Democrat Party has let them in, taken them in because they needed them. They didn't want to ostracize them and push them out. Mostly because they are kind of the socialist party light. They are, they see themselves as more of a socialist party. Now, the establishment doesn't necessarily feel that way, but they don't know why they feel that. They don't have an explanation of their defining themselves as anything other than closer to the socialist, you know, agenda. And they don't mind having this radical bunch in there because it kind of goes more along with what they're where they're at than what they. But that's not the way the DSA sees it. The DSA sees the Democrat Party as their enemy. However, they are the enemy that they can use as a tool. And they'll even use that terminology. You could hear them saying the Democrat Party is a tool. So those who are the architects, those who are at the center, they realized that having a third party wasn't going to work because it was too far ostracized. There's really no – the way our nation is set up as far as our voting laws and stuff are set up, it's set up for a two-party system. It's not set up for any kind of independent party. That's where the real problem is. So they realized they had to take over a party in order to get there. That's what they're doing right
now. DSA candidates run as Democrats in safe blue districts. They slip through low turnout primaries. And once inside, they use the Democratic label as camouflage while advancing an extremist anti-American agenda far beyond the party's mainstream.
I don't agree with the Democratic Party, but it's a great tool.
The Democratic is a tool that we use.
Once in office, DSA candidates take orders from DSA's internal enforcers and working groups. City halls and state houses start running as socialist machines controlled by the organization, not the Democratic Party, and certainly not voters.
They have to have a connection with DSA's internal politics, and they have to be committed to the eventual goal of building a separate entity from the Democrats.
DSA are revolutionaries, and the Democrats are their first victims. And in city after city, DSA victories prove their plan works.
I think that the model that we used in New York is 100% replicatable.
And just like the cuckoo, once the DSA grows strong, it pushes the true Democrats out, hollowing the party from within.
Building towards political independence and tearing apart the Democratic Party.
The DSA is not here to strengthen the Democratic Party. It is here to consume it.
That's exactly right. That's what they're doing. There's something at the end here that I want to talk about with the whole, once I get through the definition of the DSA, we're going to talk about a little bit more here. But the I'll just play it to the end. But the whole point here is that the DSA sees this as a vehicle, sees it as a means to an end, a stepping stone, if you will, that the traditional Democrat Party is dying out, which is the, and I get it, you know, the establishment, either way, the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, the establishment is basically two sides of the same coin. It's a uniparty type mentality for the most part. Many times the same donors are contributing to both sides, just because they know that they just have to buy out whatever side's going to be on there. But their little talking points and a few of their little political footballs that they use to maintain a definition of who they are. So that's what happens with all this stuff. Now let's continue on. So the DSA basically saw the Democrat Party as the weakest link in this whole thing that they could slither their way into and take over.
We're not here to make the Democrats a little bit better. We're here to actually enact socialism. And socialism is not just better capitalism. It's overthrowing the entire capitalist state.
It's our duty, DSA, to cultivate this power.
The cuckoo is in the nest, and New York City is poised to elect not a Democrat, but Zohran Mamdani, an extremist within the DSA.
And he is an extremist. He's an extremist in the DSA. And we'll talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. And what that all means.
We understand that winning an election is not an end. It is a means to an end.
So the most important thing that we can do is take that empire down from within.
Ultimately to overthrow our own empire.
We need a movement that can drive a stake to the heart of the empire.
We need to orient ourselves towards insurrection.
That's the end of the ad. To orient themselves into insurrection. Who are the insurrectionists here? It's just the means that they're using to do the insurrection. And eventually it will become violent. I mean, you see the Antifa stuff and the stuff that goes on right now, that is violent. But that's to create chaos. That's all part of the Rules for Radicals agenda. It's all part of that whole thing, the useful idiots and all the other things that are happening right now, the people that get drummed up to do their bidding. Now, it has happened before, and it will happen again, but just to put it bluntly, they've used these radicals before. They'll use the socialists, if you will, the radicals, the people who are willing to push back against the government, and then once they've used them to the degree that they want them, they will turn around and then they will boot them out or kill them, one of the two. They oust them, put them out in the fields to work, and then starve them to death. This has happened before. They get these people who are all drummed up and all this ideology. They're basically high on an idea that everybody's going to have everything. All we have to do is, you know, you can have whatever you want. Everybody just does their little thing, does their little work thing. To each according to their need. Everyone according to their ability to, from everyone according to their ability to everyone according to their need. So this is just one of those things where it's just this utopian society where everyone is just taken care of and all their needs are met and they just work with all their hearts and it doesn't happen that way. You have to have some kind of personal responsibility in this whole thing. And that it absolves everyone of any kind of personal responsibility other than if you don't, you know, of course, that when it's imposed upon you, now it's a whole different story. Work or else kind of mentality. Instead of I need to work so I can provide, so I can achieve something, so I can have some kind of self-respect and dignity. It doesn't happen that way in a socialist, I should say a communist, an imposed communist state. And those who are in charge, it's just this whole thing of the oligarch and everything else that happens within this whole thing. What we get told about the oligarchy and everything else that happens is all projection. We have people who are millionaires and billionaires in this nation. And they are, in a sense, they are kind of de facto oligarchs, if you want to call them that. They have influence on politicians. However, those are politicians that can be voted out. When was the last time you saw Putin get voted out? He's elected every year. He established, when the political leaders establish who the oligarchs are going to be, there's this leech mentality. It's a leech on leech kind of thing where one needs the other. the dictator will make the oligarchs. There's oligarchs in China as well. There are people who have a lot of money in China. But they were made by the government. The government decided who they would be. And then they become, I would say, they become pawns of the government. At the same time, they are they create the puppets that are the leaders. It's this weird relationship between leadership and the people that control the money, that control the purse strings. It's not a people's People's Republic of China is nothing to do with the people at all. It's a compliance they have to contend with. So this is what we have now. So now what we have is that we have this group of individuals within the Democrat Party that are taking over, it's happening. My opinion, the cuckoo bird egg has hatched, and they're pushing them out. Schumer's on his way out. Nancy Pelosi's on her way out. There's nobody replacing those people with anybody that is a young, up and coming traditional Democrat. I would say. What we have is not tradition at all. We have a up-and-coming group of the squad, that kind of thing. They're the ones with all the energy and the, if you want to call it, vision for the future of the Democrat Party. And it is the DSA, it is Democratic Socialism. Now, here is what I'm going to talk about. this is the Wikipedia page. By the way, my backup cup. I don't know if I already talked about this. Sweet tea and apple cider. That's pretty good. This is the Wikipedia. Now, this has obviously been, in my opinion, join Wikipedia, celebrate. Okay, it doesn't say who the actual last person. There's probably ways to find out who's done the last editing in this thing. this is the Democrat Socialist of America. two left-wing organizations, the Democratic Socialist Organization. Yes, talk about Michael Harrington was the first chairman of the DSA. His most prominent public figure until his death in 1989. So I'm going to go back here a little bit to the, talk more about the history of the whole thing. And of course it is skewed with some innuendo and some other things that they're doing here. He's whining again. I don't know what that's all about. This is from Wikipedia. The Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, is a political organization in the United States and the country's largest socialist organization. DSA is a big tent of socialists on the left wing to far left of the political spectrum, primarily organized around the tenets of democratic socialism. DSA formed in 1982 as a merger of the Democratic Socialist Organization Committee, DSOC, and the New American Movement, the NAM. It has a decentralized structure where local chapters and ideological caucuses have high autonomy. Now, let's be very clear here. This local chapters and ideological caucuses are almost always, 99.9% of the time, formed around university campuses. And the ideological part of this whole thing, where the centralized ideology is coming from, is from professors who are promoting it. They may not be involved in the organization, but they are the ones pushing the chapters and the formation of such. They're the ones who are educating these kids, getting them down this. So this the growth has happened mostly in the last few years among university campuses. DSA's stated goal is to participate in the workers' rights movement. Sound familiar? With a long-term aim of social ownership of production, such as public enterprises, worker cooperatives, or decentralized planning. Now, this is a very interesting statement. I'm going to keep on reading this. We're going to go back to that particular that particular sentence. At its founding, it supported grassroots social movements and progressives in the Democratic Party, or I would say Democrat Party. DSA was a minor political force until the 2016 presidential campaign of Senator Bernie Sanders, a self-identified Democratic Socialist, and the 2016 United States presidential election, after which its membership swelled from about 6,000 members in 2015 to more than 90,000 in 2021, resulting in its median membership age dropping from 68 to 33. Now, that's a very, very subtle thing that they say there. In other words, there was a large growth of people in the younger, this is the median age. That's the average age from 68 to 33 years old. In other words, people 20 years old were the ones that's where the growth really came from. These young new members shifted DSA to the left, away from its historically social democratic leadership and toward democratic socialist and other socialist ideologies. The organization's foreign policy is non-interventionist, and strongly pro-Palestinian and anti-Zionist causes. It also supports spending cuts to the United States military, as well as, didn't say this, but it's as well as defunding the police. Now, I want to go back to this first part of this paragraph. DSA's stated goal is to participate in the workers' rights movement, which is basically the unions. This is the next thing that they're going to start taking. They have kind of started taking this over already. They're very much a socialist agenda among most unions, with a long-term aim of social ownership of production. That is just what Mamdani called it, the holy grail, seizing the means of production. That is right out of the Communist Manifesto. So they've simply changed the term, but it means the same thing. The aim of social ownership of production. Social ownership of production means you socialize these things. It's communism. You seize the means of production. Now, the people aren't the ones who seize the production. It's the government who does that. On behalf of the people, we're going to seize the... It was a lady, wacky old lady from California one time who got caught halfway through a sentence. She said, we're going to socialize the oil companies. This senator's going to, this congressperson's going to socialize, is for socializing. I mean, yeah, we're going to t- take over the, you know, she got caught in the whole thing. Right in the middle of saying it, she realized she was going down a wrong path. And of course, now the path that she was going down was exactly the DSA ideology, their agenda. We talk about public enterprises, worker cooperatives, which are unions, or decentralized planning, which means you just it becomes more chaotic at that point. It's the founding. Let's talk about the whole rigmarole here that's going on. I believe, and this is where I'm going to get go a little bit further than this thing. So the DSA, in my opinion, it's the egg that's already hatched. It's the bird that's already in existence, and it is pushing the Democrat Party. Let the dog go. It's pushing the traditional Democrats out. But I would like to suggest to you there's one more thing that's happening here, and that's something I don't even think that the people that are in the DSA even see their own blind. It's almost like they're doing something so intently that they don't even see what's happening to themselves. The same thing's happening to themselves. There is a cuckoo bird egg right now in the DSA. And that cuckoo bird egg that will soon take them over, because it, again, is a means to an end, is radical Islam. There are plenty of things within the DSA, plenty of organizations within the DSA and people who support the democratic socialist movement, but they are contradictory to what is happening with those who are taking over the actual leadership of the government positions. And those government positions are people like Ilhan Omar. Mamdani, Rashida Tlaib. Are you catching some of the names here? What's happening? There is a radical Islam happening within our purview here. The radical Islamists are taking over. Now, they may not sound like radical Islamists right now. They sit there with a smile on their face. And you ask him if they're a communist. I'm a democratic socialist. This is kind of like I was 18 years old, whatever I was. I graduated when I was 17. Got a job pumping gas. Somebody asked what I did. I'm a petroleum transport engineer. Because I pumped gas at a gas station. I was the kid who would come out. You'd pull up to get gas. I'd put the thing and you fill up your tank and I check your oil, wash your windshield. Once in a while I get a dollar tip or 50 cents or whatever it was. Of course with 50 cents I could buy a gallon of gas. But that's what was going on here. They've just changed, you know, they've made it so they can sit there with a smile on their face and say, no, I'm not a communist, but you know, that holy grail of seizing the means of production, that's a communist thing. That's in the Communist Manifesto. They're using these kinds of things. Now, if you think that the LGBTQ community is going to survive under a Islamic state, we'll see how that works out for you. There's no room for that. Because Sharia law will eventually take its place. And that will be, there are already some places that are having their own courts. They're having their own jurisdictions, if you will, in certain places in the country. And Sharia law is taking over. This is their way in. So they're trying to find a way in to take over everything and then eventually take over city by city, state by state. They will eventually take the party over. Now, it's a very crazy, wacky thing that's going on here. But it's definitely happening. And I don't know if the DSA leadership sees it or if they're. Let's just look at this for a second. The founder was made. Founder. Yeah, Michael Harrington, a long time ago. He's a guy that was here. He was a professor, lived in the academic world. The national co-chairs now, there's a co-chair. Of course, they have to have a co-chair. Megan Romer and Ashiq Sadiq. So the leadership might know what's going on, the DSA. And they're just letting it happen. But when you see the people rising to the top of the DSA, the people who are actually running the show, they tend to be Muslim. Let's just put it this way. They are anything but Bible-believing Christians. Oh, they might quote the Bible. There are some out there that are doing it. I guess there's some guy in Texas that it was... The Democrats were kind of liking, the traditional Democrats were kind of liking this guy because he was actually an openly biblical, Bible-believing Christian. He was very big about his faith. He's kind of faith-leading his charge for his campaign. Well, he was a state representative, whatever he was. A rising star in the Democrat Party because he was, of course, in Texas, you know, the whole Bible thing is kind of a Bible-belt thing. They felt that was very, very attractive to many of them. Till they find out that this guy has all kinds of weird stuff going on in his personal life. And they're not so sure about this guy. But he was fooling them. Now, this thing with Mamdani, he's fooling them too. He's you know, anybody who comes in and promises, well, you're going to have free buses. Your rent's going to be lower. Your food's going to be cheaper. Life's going to be this utopian life that they promise. They just come in and make all these promises. Then come to find out, oh, this guy can't. He wants to be a king. And this is, again, this gets back to the whole thing I was talking about yesterday, the difference between service and a representative. Service and a power position, a position of power or a position of service. Are you stepping into politics to serve the people or are you stepping into the politics? And they'll say they are. I've been a public servant for 47 years. I've been in Congress serving the public. No, you've been in power service is what you've been in, and you consider it power when you're in the halls of power. The whole thing. You're not in the halls of servitude. And you really are in the halls of servitude, but you won't recognize it as such. As a representative, you should be considered a servant to the people, not a power over the people or an overlord to the people. And yet that is what it has become. It's what government has become. It's what our political system has become. It is no longer a government for and by the people. It is a government lording over the people, telling them what to do, trying to give them rights. And you'll hear them say, you'll hear people in Congress saying this once in a while. We're here to give you your rights. We should expand your rights. Well, anybody who can give and expand rights can not only take them away, they can just give them to certain people or take them away from certain people. They can give special rights to certain people and take away special rights from other people. And they start considering all the rights to be given by Congress, which they're not. They're given by our Creator. We are endowed with them. And our representatives are supposed to go to Congress to protect those rights, not to try to expand and contract and do all these other things with our rights or give us any more rights. So healthcare is not a right, by the way. You have the right to take care of your health. You have the right. You have absolute right to do that. Everybody has that right. You have the right to care for yourself. What you don't have the right to do is have someone else pay for it. Whether that be the doctor at his doctor's office, or he's not deposed. You can't just walk in there and say, now that you're a doctor, you have to give me care. It's a human right, and you're the one who has to give it. You can't force the doctor to do that. Now, there's this hypocritical oath in the whole thing. Supposedly you walk into a hospital, they can't deny you care, that whole thing. But that's all of a sudden we start to think that this is something that it's owed us. It's entitled to us. You don't have the right to have somebody else pay for that. You have the right to get care. You don't have the right to have someone else pay for it. That's my whole argument with the whole thing. In other words, you don't have the right to take money away from me to pay for your health care. It's like I don't have the right to take away anything from you. It's just ridiculous. But that's the road we're going down. It's a very slippery slope. Now, does there need to be a safety net? Sure there does. I think that a society that is the richest nation in the world can have a safety net. But this idea that we can safety net everyone in the world, everyone in the country, and allow anybody in the world to come here to get that safety net is absolutely ridiculous. That's where I am on. That's the way it was. I don't know how long this show has been going because I have had to stop and start some things a couple times, and I'm not sure how long the show has even been. But that's my take on it right there, folks. That's my take on the whole DSA thing and the cuckoo bird within the cuckoo bird nest that I think is happening. And I think it's quite alarming. I think we need to pay attention to what's happening here. I don't know how far it'll go. I'm not sure what's going to happen with the whole thing. I think it's going to mess. I foresee it messing up a lot of things. But as we head into the weekend, I would say to you, Shabbat Shalom. I will be heading into the Shabbat moment. I have some things I need to put together for this evening. I have a meeting this evening, and then tomorrow I'm heading off to Cedar Rapids. Again, let me know what you think about what I think. 812-379-8778. Take care. Have a great rest of your weekend. Hope you have some time off. I will talk to you on hopefully Monday. God bless.